We want to welcome you to the statewide conversation with Minnesota state officials on COVID-19. It's brought to you by the Ampers Network of Radio Stations. I'm Heidi Holton. I'm live from the KEXE studios on the sunny banks of the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Thanks for tuning in today. Today we've got Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan joining us to answer questions that came in this week from listeners around the state. Each week is your opportunity to ask questions about the current COVID-19 pandemic. You can email covid@ampers.org or call 612-562-9895. This conversation is a collaboration of Ampers Diverse Radio for Minnesota communities, as well as the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for being here again and taking time for us.
Thanks so much, Heidi. How are you today?
I'm good. So good. I kind of want to start, it seems like every week there's big news, doesn't it?
But
yes. Good Lord. I want to talk about some of the big news of the week. Let's start off with some really good news. History was made with the confirmation of Deb Haaland as Secretary of Interior. And the New York Times started their coverage of it with this line. They said, "Forget pantsuit nation. The Washington dress code is changing, one swearing in at a time." So I wondered your thoughts. What does this mean for our country? What does it mean for you personally?
Well, here's what I know. I know that Native women have been leaders since time immemorial, and the rest of society is now beginning to catch up with us. And I think we've seen that with the election of Congresswoman Deb Haaland and Sharice Davids, Ruth Ann of Buffalo in North Dakota. And, you know, the Native women who are serving in the Minnesota legislature. And so we are just seeing the natural extension of that. And I can't tell you, Heidi, watching, see, now I'm going to cry again, watching my dear friend be sworn in yesterday. Yeah. Was so powerful. Like, I was sobbing so hard. I didn't expect, you know, I thought, oh, I'll cry some happy tears, but it was so bad that my husband, Tom, came in from the other room and was like, "Are you okay? What happened?" And I was like, "It's Deb." So, you know, I think that there are just millions of Native kids across the country who saw her become, right, the first Native person to serve in the role of leading the Department of the Interior, which, frankly, you know, has been impacting the lives of Native folks since the creation. It really matters, but they also can see themselves reflected in this leadership, in an executive office where she is now at the table and part of President Biden's cabinet. It's powerful, and she is one of the most brilliant people I know, and I can't tell you how excited I am just as a Native woman, but more than anything, just as her friend. I love her so much, and she's worked so hard and deserves this, and we are so lucky that she will be in this role.
Well, it sounds like you probably needed a ugly, happy cry.
Pretty ugly, and yes, I did.
Well, I wanted to start with that good news because there was also not great news this week in the United States. The lives of six Asian American women ended because an armed Georgia man went on a rampage at three spas in Atlanta. So this kind of racism, this violence and racism toward Asian Americans during the pandemic isn't new, and it's not just in the state of Georgia. And I wondered your thoughts on this and how Asian Americans in Minnesota must be feeling right now and the things they're going through as well.
So, you know, the attacks on Tuesday were horrific and traumatic and unacceptable, but they weren't surprising. And they weren't surprising because, you know, the hate speech and ridiculous rhetoric that has come out over the last year in particular, you know, has only fanned the flames of the opportunity for something like this to happen. And, you know, the governor and I stand with the AAPI community against this violence and white supremacy. The uptick in these attacks, I just read about an additional one today, just someone who was harassed at a bus stop. I read that on social media, and it's just, it's unacceptable. And I want Minnesotans to know that if they experience or witness any kind of discrimination, that they should contact the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. And that's their number is 1-833-454-0148. And we've been sharing that a lot on our social media as well. We want every Minnesotan to feel safe. And the Asian community is part of Minnesota and it's part of what makes our state a wonderful place to live. And we cannot disconnect the racism and misogyny and white supremacy from the attacks that occurred on Tuesday. And we are going to continue to do everything we can to ask for beefed up hate crime legislation and to stand with the community. We were at an event last night with the Coalition of Asian American Leaders, and there were lots of folks on there who were just coming together in grief. I know that there also was a socially distanced gathering that also happened last night with in support of our Asian community, and it's a really scary time, and I just want folks to know that we see you and we stand with you. And we'll do everything we can to push back against this hateful rhetoric and the violent attacks.
And we shouldn't need to say this, but this is based on misinformation that the virus came from China or that Asian Americans have something to do with this pandemic, and that is just absolutely false.
That's right. And it is, you know, it is rhetoric, frankly, that was repeated over and over again by the former president, Donald Trump, and, you know, by other quote-unquote leaders across the country and even in the state. So it is, words have consequences, and we as people with public platforms need to be very responsible with the words that we use. And I am disheartened that this is where we are, but we have an opportunity to come out of it on the other side so that nobody in the state has to live in fear.
Also in the news this week, you and the governor and others were exposed to COVID and are now quarantining. And I think it was surprising to a lot of people. I think a lot of people feel like they perceive that we are in a post-COVID era already. They aren't. I've heard from local health care workers that they are concerned that people aren't getting tested as much anymore. They aren't quarantining if they've been exposed. So I just want to say I, for one, was glad to have your and Governor Wall's leadership in this area. And another thing that came out of this, people were shocked that the governor did not have his vaccine yet. I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about the decision to make this public and do this.
So I'm spending a lot of quality time with my husband over the next several days. And, you know, I think it's just a good reminder. And, you know, it's a good reminder to folks that we are not out of this yet. You're still taking this very seriously. And so please, if you have been exposed to someone who has COVID or you're just not feeling well, get tested. We have an incredibly robust testing operation across the state of Minnesota. And you don't actually have to leave your own home to get tested either. You can send away for one of the saliva tests. Heidi, we talked about this before. It's super easy to do, and you get your results back fairly quickly. The governor and I will be tested every day over the next several days. I report that yesterday the governor was negative, as was I, and that's a really good thing, but we do take this seriously. And then when it is your turn, you should get the vaccine. You know, the governor is very conscious of making sure, you know, that folks who need the vaccine most can get it. And, you know, once it's his turn, when it comes up in line, you know, he's going to get it. But we didn't want to jump the line and wanted to make sure you know, that Minnesotans who needed access to it to get it. My time to get the vaccine was because I'm an enrolled member of WIDERS. Was when the opportunity presented itself at the urban clinic here in the Twin Cities. And so I took that opportunity because it was my time. And that's just my, you know, my reminder that we're going to have more and more vaccine coming into the state. Sign up to the connector and make sure that when you have that opportunity, you take it. And you take it with, you know, all of the vaccines that are available right now, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer are all great. Please take those vaccines. And Heidi, I wish I could tell you that, you know, we were relaxing around here, but I'm still, you know, on Zoom calls all day, every day, and doing good work for the people of Minnesota. So that's not going to change. But I do think this weekend we'll have an opportunity, whether my husband likes it or not, to do a real deep clean of this house.
I think
we'll just be in here.
I think I've said that every weekend of the pandemic, and it's yet to happen. Maybe a few times during the time, but
maybe in solidarity.
Yes, yeah. Maybe. We heard from Joan this week, and she had a question about this kind of thing. She said, if you've received both doses of a vaccine and you came into contact with a person with COVID-19, could you be a carrier?
So, you know, what we know about COVID and the vaccine, you know, is that we're certainly learning more, but it's a really good question. The answer is that we don't know yet. There's ongoing research about this subject, and the trials that were conducted to get FDA emergency use authorization tested for this prevention of symptomatic disease and the development of severe symptoms. So we don't know if a vaccinated person can be an asymptomatic carrier of COVID, but you should act as if for now. So that's why it's important to keep following those public health guidelines until we have more data. So you should just assume that you can carry it until we learn otherwise.
Well, let's get to the topic of vaccines. The governor signed into law a bill to allow trained dentist office to provide COVID vaccines in Minnesota. How are you feeling overall? Do we have enough? Are the numbers where you want them to be right now?
So I think we are on, you know, we are on a good clip of vaccinations. And, you know, we're in a moment where, you know, we will continue to get more and more vaccines coming into the state of Minnesota. And we've got a lot of places where folks can access those vaccines. I'm grateful that we have also created the ability for dentist office to administer the vaccines as well. It just gives people one more option to be able to access the vaccine. And I think, you know, we're moving at a pretty steady clip. So I feel confident about where we are. But I, again, just want to reemphasize to people, sign up for the connector so you know when it's your turn. When you have that opportunity, please take it. Because as more and more vaccine comes into the state, we're in just a good place to be able to keep getting those doses into arms. And the thing that I worry about the most, Heidi, to be honest, is that, you know, because you mentioned earlier that people somehow think that we are out of the woods on this one. We're not yet. And so that if people are starting to feel more relaxed, maybe they think, oh, I don't need to get the vaccine. You need to get the vaccine. And again, it's not a buffet. You should take the vaccine that is available to you. That is how we get to a place, you know, that President Biden talked about recently of 4th of July barbecues and being able to do the things that we really love to do as Minnesotans. You know, we live for being outside and, you know, want to make sure that people are safe and healthy and ready to go. We're not quite there yet, but we will get there if everybody takes their role seriously and gets that vaccine.
Maybe someday we will be in the same room when we do this conversation, when we're talking about what it was like. Wouldn't that
I
be
am
amazing?
So ready for that, Heidi, and yes. to be on the sunny banks of the Mississippi River.
There we go.
And spending that time for sure.
Yeah. You're listening to the Statewide Conversation on COVID-19. It's Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Send in your questions to COVID@ampers.org. We had someone asking about when you think it will be time for children and babies to get vaccinated, and what is the process for determining how that might go?
Well, I can tell you, my daughter, Siobhan, this was like a couple weeks ago, she said, Mom, I know the kids can't get the vaccine yet, but when they can get the vaccine, I'm going to be at the front of the line. So I appreciate, her enthusiasm for public health, and we're not quite there yet. That research is going on right now, and I can say that the Pfizer vaccine is safe for people over the age of 16, but it's going to take special research and, for that approval for children. Moderna is testing right now, and Pfizer is currently enrolling kids from 12 to 17 for trials. I don't want to predict how those trials will go, and hopefully we'll have something this year. But I'll say this, once the vaccines go through the proper approvals and we know that they're safe for kids, I absolutely want my daughter to be vaccinated. And the same way that she gets her flu shot every year and that, we keep her up to date on all of her child vaccinations. It's just one of the ways that I can care for her as a mom, but that also we can care for other folks in the community. So when it's available and it's safe, I absolutely want to make sure that my kiddo is vaccinated, and I hope that other people do the same thing.
Another question on vaccines. This one, are you finding that people are following through and getting their second dose of the vaccine? I am still trying to schedule my first vaccine. My age group is now eligible, and it's been a bit tricky, and I've not yet been able to get an appointment. I'll keep trying, but I'm wondering, when I finally do get it scheduled, will it be hard to schedule the second dose? I could see how that might slow people from doing that. What are you hearing?
So that's a great question, and I can't wait until you're able to get your appointment. We are hearing that people are getting their second dose, and that's, due in large part because many providers are scheduling appointments for the second dose at the time of the first dose. So I myself have my second dose appointment scheduled, and I am so ready to receive it. So I think as, vaccine supplies ramp up this spring, it's going to be easier and easier to schedule those appointments. Another bright spot, of course, is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Right now, the FDA is reviving the agreement between Johnson & Johnson and Merck to jointly start producing that vaccine. So if that goes forward, we could see an allocation in Minnesota go up to 100,000 doses of Johnson & Johnson vaccines a week, which is like a total game changer. And then you got one dose and you're done. As you saw, Heidi, I'm sure that our own Jan Malcolm got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And I also, it's been an emotional couple of weeks. I also cried when I saw Jan Malcolm get vaccinated.
Yeah.
We want it to be as easy for folks as possible. And we know that folks are getting their second doses. And we really appreciate the providers who are making it super easy for folks. Usually it's right on their vaccine card. Your next appointment is on this particular date. So once you get that vaccine appointment, you should be good to go.
Well, and let's be clear, Jan Malcolm is also having to quarantine, though, even though she did get the Johnson & Johnson, right?
Yes. Because I have received my first dose, I'm going to receive my second dose in the next couple of weeks here, then I'm not fully vaccinated or considered fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after I receive my second dose. And with the Johnson & Johnson, you're not considered fully vaccinated until 28 days after you receive that one dose. So we are all following protocol, and we are quarantining because we're not yet fully vaccinated. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, Heidi, the governor has yet to receive his vaccine, but I can tell you that that will happen soon.
Well, I feel like our conversations with you are, you know, you're giving straight answers about the pandemic, but I kind of like when people send in questions where you get to be the Dear Abby of the pandemic. That's what this next one is. It's Patty in Minneapolis, and she wrote, she said, our extended family shares a cabin on a lake. Last year, we made a schedule, and we took turns about which family could go and when. This summer, we're looking at doing the same thing because some family members have health issues, even though some are getting vaccinated. Do you have a suggestion for a basic rule we can use as to when we go back to our big family holiday gatherings? Should we just wait until everyone has been fully vaccinated? And she also added that our family spans the spectrum of political beliefs, and we have worked hard to not let that infiltrate our lake cabin scene. That is why I think a simple rule might be helpful here.
Oh, Patty. As long as you ask me to be Dear Abby and not Miss Manners, I think we're going to be just fine, Heidi.
Yes.
Thanks for this question. The ideal solution, honestly, is to simply wait until everyone is vaccinated. And I think this is going to happen sooner than we originally predicted because there's so much more vaccine that's coming into the state. So you may be at the lake cabin with everyone sooner than you think, and I think that's a good thing. But at a minimum, you should make sure that everyone in your family who is in a higher risk category is vaccinated before all of you would gather. And as I mentioned before, just vaccinated means 2 weeks after your final shot so that your body has the ability to produce the immune response to the virus. We've seen some cases where people get vaccinated, think they're covered, and then contract COVID because they didn't wait long enough. And we don't want that to happen, Patty, to you or anyone else in your family. So I would just continue follow public health guidelines. But if you want to feel really safe and secure, I just wait until everyone has been vaccinated. That should happen sooner than you think, or maybe sooner than you'd like, Patty, depending on, you know, how much you enjoy spending time with your family. But I think you should be good to go fairly quickly. And I just wait until everyone is fully vaccinated.
Yeah, and if someone's crafty in Patty's family, they could have a cute sign that says something like that on the front door of that cabin.
That's
be vaccinated.
Exactly.
We had a question that came in this week about the outbreak in Carver County. They said, I saw on social media that it was because of youth sports. Does this indicate that people are moving too fast to open things up, or is it just the increase in testing?
So, you know, this isn't a Carver County problem. It's a Minnesota problem. You know, there's a sizable outbreak of the B117 variant, which is also called the UK variant, that's hit Carver County pretty hard. And we know that, you know, as was mentioned, that this particular outbreak is tied to school sports. But it would be a mistake to think that this is just a problem in Carver County or only with school sports. Right now, there are more than 300 known cases of the B117 variant in Minnesota, and that's up from 50 cases less than 2 weeks ago. So the Department of Health is watching, you know, that one area that is adjacent to Carver County that fits the definition of a B117 outbreak, and another location in South Central Minnesota. So they're working with local public health to determine how the variant got there and how much it has actually spread. And when that work is done, we will know more. But in the meantime, again, as we see some of these variants are more contagious, that just means that we need to be more vigilant with hand washing, masking, and practicing social distancing, staying home if you're sick. But again, I want to keep reminding people, too, that testing, especially if you have young people in sports or in school. The general guidelines is that our young people should be tested every 2 weeks. And so you can do that with a saliva test at home, or you can find a local testing location near you to make sure that, you know, we're staying on top of this. That's one of the ways that we can make sure that we can continue to enjoy the things that we love, like sports, and making sure that we are not responsible for spreading this to other folks who might be more vulnerable to COVID-19.
And the vaccine does work on the variants so far that they have found, right?
That's correct.
Good. Mm-hmm. We had another listener who wanted to know how hospitalizations are right now, what the rates are, and how you're feeling about that.
So with hospitalizations, right now, we feel okay. We're in pretty good shape with fewer than 100 daily hospital admissions, especially when you consider where we were last fall when we had triple that number. But again, we can't afford to let up, especially with those new variants that are much more contagious. And really, we're just in a race against time. We have to keep the spread of COVID down because every time it spreads and the virus replicates itself, there's a possibility that it will mutate and create a new variant. That's what viruses do. So the need to suppress the spread is really the most important thing that we can do right now. And vaccinate as much as we can so we can stamp out the virus before it evolves. And it may be that in the future we have vaccines that are changed a bit to respond to some of these variants, the same way that we have the flu changes from year to year. But right now, the best defense is to practice good public health guidelines and to get your vaccine when it is your time.
Another question came in this week about restrictions being lifted in public life in Minnesota. They want to know how you determine whether upticks are normal as we open up more versus a situation getting out of control, causing us to lose ground.
So, we are in this time where we're making these decisions very carefully with a lot of data and expert advice. Last Friday, we dialed forward a bit and opened up a little bit more, but we haven't stopped monitoring the number of new cases and analyzing how the spread is occurring. And so, again, this doesn't mean, right, that when we open up a bit, that then the only way we go is open. It means that we continue to analyze the data and the science and monitor things really closely. So, we've done a fairly good job of keeping Minnesotans informed about those changes that we're making. But really, Minnesota, it's up to us, how we continue to move forward. If we are taking this seriously, we're getting vaccinated, we're practicing all of those, public health guidelines, that will mean that we are continuing on a path where we're able to get back to a place of doing the things that we love. That can happen more quickly if people do what they need to do to take responsibility for the individual behaviors, which, will help the community and the state on a whole.
And someone wrote in about the health department announcing changes to the rules about visiting people in nursing home and long-term care facilities. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but can you give us kind of an overview of what those changes are?
Sure. So the Department of Health released updated guidance last Thursday. So these changes are super new, and I'm really glad that you asked about them. My family is impacted by them, and so I appreciate them. Under the new guidance, people who are living in long-term care facilities can have visitors indoors at any time with just a few exceptions. So this new guidance only restricts visitation for unvaccinated residents if the county positivity rate is above 10% and fewer than 70% of the residents in a facility or are vaccinated, or if a resident has a confirmed case of COVID-19 or if a resident is in quarantine. Other than that, we know that folks now can visit, or they can go with their family, to lunch or to church. That these are things that we are allowing for, and I think it really matters. But compassionate care visits are allowed at any time, even if they're unvaccinated, there's an outbreak, or the local COVID-19 positivity rate is high. And of course, compassionate care visits include visits for a resident whose health has declined sharply or is experiencing a significant change in circumstances and maybe at the end of their life.
That is Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. As always, thank you for your time today. Good luck being locked in this weekend.
Thanks so much, Heidi. Probably will go sit in the yard and enjoy the sun.
Sounds good. This broadcast is a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state through Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. You can listen to the full conversation at KEXE.org. And if you want to ask a question next week, email COVID@ampers.org or call and leave a message at 612-562-9895. I'm Heidi Holton for KEXE, KBXE. Stay safe and thanks for listening.